have not been with us, this is what we've been talking about over the last number of weeks. We said that your future can be greater than your present. Anybody believe that? Your future can be better than your present. In fact, if you're here and you are a follower of Jesus Christ because you've given your life to him, what we know is that Jesus wants to help us every single day in order to become more like him in our lives and to experience a metamorphosis, a great change in our lives that takes place typically from the inside out. And so this is why we've been talking about the series, because our future is at stake here, and your future, my future, can be greater than your present. So if you're here and you're a guest in any one of our campuses, any one of our locations, or you're online for the very first time with us, we want you to know that your future can be greater than your present. Now in this series, we're talking about ways that we can have a metamorphosis, where we can go from one place to another. We said that you can have a metamorphosis, a great change, where you move from worry to contentment. Does that sound good to anybody? About 4 weeks ago, we looked at that, and you can go online, you can go to our app, you can go to Roku. I don't know if you know that or not. We have a Roku channel. You can go there, and if you want, you can look at that and follow along. We said 3 weeks ago that if you want a metamorphosis in your life, you might want to consider how to move from shame, because all of us deal with shame. Shame is what we tell ourselves about who we are. We can move to God's approval, and when that happens, boy, I tell you, that's a game changer right there, right? We talked about that last week. We said we can move from fear to rest, and faith is found right in the middle of that. At the end of the service, if you weren't here, it was absolutely phenomenal. We said, if you're experiencing fear in any area of your life, why don't you just stand as a declaration you're going to stand firm in your faith? And hundreds, maybe thousands of people stood. It was awesome. It was awesome to see what God is doing in each one of our lives. And I stood with you because there's an area of my life where I'm going to stand firm in my faith because I'm headed up against something in my own life. And so it's exciting to know that we can do that together as a church. Today, I want to talk about how we can move from a setback to a comeback. I'm not talking about if you've had a financial setback. I'm not talking about if you've had a job setback. I'm not talking about if you've had some relational setback. I'm talking about a spiritual setback in your life, how you've maybe had a setback in your spiritual life and you want a comeback, where you would say to yourself, you know, I'm not where I want to be in my spiritual life. I'm not where I want to be with my relationship with God. God seems a little bit distant to me today, and you want to go from where you feel like there's a setback in your spiritual life to a comeback in your life. How many of you know that if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, a spiritual setback impacts everything? It impacts all your relationships, it impacts your work, it impacts your neighborhoods, it impacts everything. Am I right? And if you're here in any one of our campuses and you're not sure if you're a follower of Jesus, I got to just tell you that setbacks then for you are everything. And you're trying to minimize the setbacks in your life. The good news is that when you're a follower of Jesus, spiritual setbacks involve everything. And Jesus helps us if we have a comeback in every area of our life, in all of our circumstances. Isn't that great to know? And that's why here at Fairhaven Church, if you've been around for any length of time, you know that here's what we tell people. We are a church where we want to try to help people to find, I wonder if you know what it is, okay? In all of our campuses, say it out loud right here. We want people to find, what is it? Hope. And that's exactly why we're here, and we do this every single week. I want to welcome our Springboro campus that's joining us right now. I want to welcome our Classic Service that also is joining us, many that are online. And then I want to tell you, all the other campuses, that our Northmont campus to the north is growing so much so that this week we're actually talking to everybody there. And so Northmont, I'm so proud of you. They're going to 2 services in less than a month. And so would you just help me by applause, just thank God for what's happening there. We're so happy, Northmont. It's great to have God doing some amazing things in your life. Well, I want to talk about how we can move from a setback to a comeback in our lives. And if you were to pick a place in Scripture where there's a great story of that, you would probably want to go to Luke chapter 15. So get your Bibles out and get your devices powered up. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. Luke is in the New Testament. If you don't know, it's Matthew, Mark, Luke in the New Testament. So it's the third book in the New Testament. There's a trilogy that takes place in Luke chapter 15, meaning that Jesus tells three stories. We're only going to look at one of them. And in the story that he tells us that we're going to read, we see an amazing setback spiritually, which then happens into a comeback, or what turns into, rather, a comeback. And I want us to take a look at that in Luke chapter 15. Many of you have probably heard this story. If you know somebody who's in a spiritual setback, if you have a daughter or a son that's experiencing a setback in their life, if you have a friend that is experiencing some spiritual setback in their life, if you have a spouse or maybe yourself, you could not have come on a better week, because we're going to take a look at the story and unpack what does it mean for us to move from a setback into a comeback, a metamorphosis in our lives. So let's take a look at the story. Luke chapter 15, pick it up in verse 11, and I'll begin reading because Jesus is telling these stories. So it says in verse 11, Jesus continued, because he had just told two stories. Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. Church, how many sons? Two. There were two sons. What's interesting is that as we read this story, we have to read it in the context of the Jewish culture. See, we read the story, and we put all the meaning into it because of our 21st century culture, and what we're going to do is take a look at this story and put it in its first century culture, and it'll make more sense even for us, even today, in the 21st century. Verse 12, the younger one said to the father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he, the father, divided up his property between them. So Jesus is telling the story about this man. He has two sons, and the younger of the sons says, hey, I want my inheritance, and I want to go off and do my own thing. Now, that was kind of common practice, actually, in the first century. It was common practice for Jewish families where somewhere along the line, if you have kids, that they would say, can I have my inheritance so that I could have a good startup, if you will, in my life? I want to go maybe start my own business, or I want to start my life. I want to, you know, perhaps think about a marriage in my life or whatever it might be. And so there's nothing wrong so far. Every person hearing this in the first century would have understood, oh, yeah, that happens all the time. What's interesting, though, is that Jesus specifically says that it's the younger son. Now, in the first century, all the Jews that were listening to this, their ears would have perked up. Because in the Jewish culture in the first century, Jews would immediately identify with the younger son. Now, you probably have heard sermons or talks about the fact that the oldest son typically got the birthright and half of the inheritance. That's true. But it was the younger son that the Jews often identified with. Let me give you a couple examples. It's Cain and Abel. It's Isaac and Ishmael. It's Jacob and Esau. It's Joseph and all the 11 other brothers. Most Jews identified with the younger sibling. And so you have Joseph and Jacob and Isaac. Have you ever heard of those words? When you read scripture in the Old Testament, you hear a lot about Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and you hear about all these younger sons. What's interesting is that this was very significant about Jesus as he tells this story, that it was the younger son who was about ready to experience a spiritual setback. Because in the Jewish mind, that didn't happen with the younger son. So let's read on. Verse 13. Not long after that, meaning after he'd gotten his inheritance, not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, and he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole land, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So Jesus is telling the story. There's this man. He's got two sons, and the younger of the two sons asks for the inheritance and then runs off to a distant country. He gets his green card, and he gets a job because he runs out of money. And in his green card, using his job, he works in a field and he's working among the pigs. And because his income isn't coming in very well, he's so hungry that he's looking at what the pigs are eating and thinking, man, I should probably just go ahead and eat that. Now, it doesn't say he eats it. You notice that? It says he longed after it, meaning he was hungry and he was dissatisfied and he was drifting and there was a setback happening in his life. And I believe that Jesus was telling the story because this son was having a setback, and Jesus does not want you and I to experience a spiritual setback. What can we learn out of this story before we read the comeback portion of this? Because there is a comeback portion. I think you know it. If you've been around church for any length of time, you probably know the story. You may have heard it in Sunday school or from a grandparent or something. But what happens when a setback occurs in our lives? Let me talk about that for a little bit. Let me give you four things that you may want to jot down, because a setback happens in your life, according to the story, at least four different ways. And if you look at these four ways, you might even see it in your own life, if that's where you're at today, where you feel like there's a setback in your life. But take a look at this. I mean, setbacks happen, number one, by a lack of wisdom. Would you agree with me that this young son, taking all of his inheritance and going out and blowing it on all kinds of wild and crazy things, where he ended up with no money and he ended up having to work in a foreign country, how many would agree with me that that's just not wisdom right there? Am I right? That's just a lack of wisdom. See, in our own spiritual lives, that happens all the time. See, if you're here at Fairhaven, you need to know that we tell you that you don't have to come to church because you get to. You've heard me say that a million times. And if you're a guest, I'll say it to you. You don't have to. God's not taking attendance. You get to come to church. Because if you can't come to church, would you agree that coming to church and worshiping, because there's only one person in the audience, that's God. We're here to worship God. Can I get an amen on that one? And as we worship Him, you get to be a part of that to make sure that as you evaluate your life, you're not drifting from God. And how many of you would agree that in community and finding yourself, you know, among a group of people who want to worship God and who want to experience God and experience the presence of God, that's wisdom. A lack of wisdom would just to say, you know what, I'm too busy. I'm not going to come anymore. That would be a lack of wisdom. I would argue that a lack of wisdom would be that if you stop reading your Bible, that if you just decided tomorrow, you know what, I think I've read all I need to know. I'm not going to read anymore. I mean, I've heard it before. And so you just close your Bible, put it on the shelf, and leave it there for the next 2 years. How many of you know that that would be a lack of wisdom in your spiritual life? You see, setbacks happen by a lack of wisdom. It's true even in our lives, right? Some of you know that a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago now, my wife and I had the opportunity to go to Greece. We didn't go to the islands. That's really the nice part. We went to Marathon, Greece, because I was speaking at a conference, and at this conference, I was able to be there with many of the families that we support as a church. I don't know if you know this or not. Do you know that we support global staff members all over the world? They're over in different countries talking about Jesus to people who don't get the opportunity. And man, they have hard lives. I'm just telling you, they have hard lives. And so they invited me to come and speak, and it was awesome to be with them. We stayed at this little place right on the Aegean Sea. And while we were there, I spoke in the mornings, and then we had activities in the evening. So one evening, they said, we're going to have a soccer game with everybody coming together. We're going to play a big game of soccer. Now, you know I love soccer, and if you're a guest here today or you're thinking about, you know, coming here to Fairhaven Church, you need to know that we agree that soccer is the best sport. And so just make sure you know that. And I've had to stop playing soccer 5 years ago because my left knee here is in really bad shape. And it's out of sync. It's not even straight. I don't know if you can see it or not. But my knee is not even on its axis correctly because of all the injuries in my life playing soccer. The doctors have actually taken a scan of it, and my knee is not sitting on top of each other. It's actually an inch and a half in and about a half an inch out, meaning that I've got a third of my knee sitting bone on Crouton bone on the lower part of my knee, and it's excruciatingly painful. So we're talking about what to do because it's really painful. And so I've given up all sports except golf because my sons love to play golf. So we were there in Greece, and they had this thing, and they said, we're going to play soccer. So I went back to our room. My wife and I went back, and I changed in my sports gear, and my wife said, you're not going to play soccer, are you? And I said, absolutely. I mean, I got to represent the U.S. here. I mean, like, I'm from the U.S., right? And so I got to represent all you guys. And so we had the soccer game, and it was awesome, and we played for about an hour. And at the end, because they had divided up into teams, they said, we're going to have an all-star game. And I was selected. I was an all-star. I was selected. And so we had another game. It was another hour. And the next morning, I couldn't even get out of the bed. I mean, it was so bad in my knee. I mean, I had to stand up to speak the next morning, and I had to stand there on my right leg and just kind of keep my leg in the air, my left leg here. How many of you know that's just a lack of wisdom right there? Am I? See, setbacks happen in our lives by a lack of wisdom. Secondly, you'll notice in this story that setbacks happen when we do what we want and we leave God out of it. Now, the truth is, many of us don't actually get up in the morning and say, today, I'm going to leave God out of this. Here's what typically happens. What typically happens is we forget the fact that we don't have two different kinds of lives. You don't have a spiritual life and another life. So often when we go through the day, we forget the fact that our spiritual life and our real life, if you're a follower, is the same. See, it's not like you have your church life, your Bible study life, you know, your Bible reading prayer life, and you have your home life and your marriage life or your singleness or your work life. It's all one. Which means, church, watch this, which means that if you're a follower of Jesus and you're walking with Him, that when you go to work, that's a holy act. That means when you take your daughter out on a date, that's a holy act. That means, men, when we teach our sons how to change a tire, that's holy. When you play golf, that's holy. When you do ballet, that's holy. When you're a music major, that's holy. See, our lives are not separated. Do you realize that God is interested in the minute details of your life? And what I find, and maybe you do as well, is it's very easy to leave Him out. And when we do, you begin to drift. And when you drift, all of a sudden you find yourself in a setback. See, in this story, this young man, he drifted away from his father. He actually left his father, went to a distant country, and he kind of drifted, and he was gone, and he wanted to do his own thing, and he didn't want to include his father in it. You see what the story is saying, right? It's absolutely amazing. You know what I've learned? That if you want a life without God, He won't stand in your way. If you want a life without God, if you're here today because somebody promised you lunch or, you know, somebody twisted your arm or, you know, you had to come here or any one of our campuses, and if you're here and you don't want a life with God, He won't stand in your way. I would also say that if you refuse to listen to God, He can't help you. He can't help you because He wants a relationship with us. And so we learn that in this story. Here's the third thing that we learn. Setbacks happen while we are bored with life. If you're a parent, raise your hand. If you're excited about your kids going back to school in 2 weeks, can I just see your hands? Raise them up high. We got 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 parents, grandparents, right? And you kind of feel bad when you say that because it's like you don't like your kids. That's not it at all. Let me tell you what it is, all right? Let me tell you. If you're excited about your kids going back to school or if you're excited about your friend's kids going back to school, it's because routine is better. Am I right? I mean, how many of you like routine? Routine is so great in life. Here's the problem. Routine can bring the biggest temptation in our life for boredom. And boredom is the petri dish for a setback in your life. because boredom will tempt you to do something that you don't want to do or don't need to do or to bring excitement into your life. What we need to do as Christ followers is to understand that it's in the routine of life that we can celebrate life, and we have a little bit of a white margin. We can spend more time with our spouses and our friends and our kids, and routine is awesome. But when it turns to boredom, see, this young man was bored. He was bored in his house. He was bored with his family. He wanted to go do, and of course he did. He went off and wildly squandered all that he had, and we see that in this story. See, boredom is a big problem. Fourthly, setbacks happen if others don't matter as much as us. If the people around you in your life don't matter as much as you do to you. When life becomes all about you, and we've heard this many, many times, but when others don't matter as much, that is a recipe for you to experience a setback in your life, a spiritual setback. Now, some of you are like, well, how do I know if others don't matter? Well, let me give you a little bit of a quiz, and you can jot it down if you want. That might help you to discern if you're at a place in your life where others don't matter as much, because setbacks happen when others don't matter. Let me give them to you. Number one, if your relationships are stressed, it might be an indication that others don't matter. Because typically relationships are stressed because somebody is being selfish in the relationship. Are you with me, church? If your relationships are stressed, it might be that others don't matter. Here's the second thing if you want to jot it down. If you feel alone and you are absolutely lonely in your life. Now, I know there's many reasons why a person can experience loneliness, but if you're experiencing loneliness in your life and you feel very alone, I would encourage you to at least investigate whether others matter in your life. Because so often when life is about us, people see that in us and they just don't want to be around us. And all of a sudden we feel lonely. That's the second way. Here's a third way. If you're consumed by what you want to do, if in a setting, whether you're with your friends or your spouse or your kids or family, when it comes up, hey, what do we want to do? If you're pushing constantly what you want to do, it might be that others don't matter. Fourthly, I would say, guaranteed that if you're distant from God, if you feel today that you're distant from God, others don't matter. Because you know the byproduct of being distant from God? Selfishness. Selfishness is the byproduct of being distant from God. And so we see here setbacks that happen right in this story. This young man didn't use wisdom. He wanted to do whatever he wanted without his father involved. He was bored with life and others didn't matter. I want to do my thing. Doesn't matter about you. But then there's a turning point. Look at verse 17. It's awesome in the story. Then, or when, he came to his senses. Underline that. That's awesome right there. That's the turning point in this story, when he came to his senses. Well, what happened? Well, we'll talk about that. He came to his senses. Church, would you agree with me? It's time to come to our senses. If you're in a spiritual setback, it's time to come to your senses. If you feel like God is far away from you, it's time to come to your senses. If you don't know how to handle the next chapter of your life, it's time to come to your senses. That's what this story is all about this young man who experienced a setback, and now he's going to have a comeback in his life, and we're going to see it right here. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I'm starving to death. I will set out and I will go back to my father and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" Remember that. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." Now he's rehearsing what he's going to do. He's rehearsing what's going to happen here. He's rehearsing where he's at. He's probably saying this to himself while he's feeding the pigs. And all of a sudden, we learn the first way that you and I can experience a comeback. Are you ready for this? Here's how we can experience a comeback. Comebacks happen by taking responsibility for where we're at. Are you where you want to be? Are you where you need to be? Take responsibility for it. Say to yourself, here's where I'm at. I don't want to be here. Here's where God is in my life, and I want more than that. Here's where my relationships are, and it's because of, you know, it's because I'm drifting from God in my life. Take responsibility, which is exactly what this young man did in this story. He took responsibility. I'm right here, and he rehearsed. This is what I'm going to say to my dad. I don't know if he'll take me back. I don't know if I can go back to the house. I don't know. And so, verse 20, he got up and he went to his father. He got out of working with the pigs and he walked all the way back to his father. He went back to his father. You know how comebacks happen? They happen with courage. Courage has nothing to do with your past. Courage has everything to do with your future. Because you know what courage is? Courage is trusting God to say yes, even though you have no idea what's going to happen. That's courage. To say, yes, God, I will do this, even though you have no idea what's going to happen. Yes, I will do this, even though you have no idea what God's plan is. He's just only going to show you the first step in your life. Courage. It's amazing. In verse 20, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Well, here's another opportunity for us to learn. Because comebacks happen if we realize that God is a doting God, not a distant God. Have you ever seen a parent dote on a child and just really dote on them and love them? Have you ever seen a newlywed couple dote on each other? They kind of stare in their eyes and all that. It's sickening, isn't it? See, this young man in this story understood that his father was loving. He wasn't distant. He was loving. About a week ago, I was with my son, and we were playing golf because he's going back to college, and I'm trying to get as much time with him as possible because I'm going to miss him, frankly. And as we were playing, we were hitting up onto a green, and I noticed over to the right, because that's where the next hole was, that there was this young family. And it was obvious that this young family were trying to teach their kids how to play golf. They didn't know how to play. It was very obvious. And so one of the father was trying to teach this little girl. She was about this tall. I mean, just tiny little girl. I don't know if she was 2 or 3 or, I mean, she was just about this tall. And so I got very interested, even though I was playing with my son and we were on the green waiting to be, you know, putting and all that. So I started kind of listening in and watching over there. And here's his father, and he's just doting over this little girl. And he's got his life over, you know, his body over her. And he says, okay, honey. And I could hear him. Okay, honey, this is how you do it. Now you swing the club, you go up and you go up, and it's kind of like a clock, and you just go up and up. And what's really important, honey, and good tip for golf, is you got to hit that white little ball right there. You got to hit that little ball right there. And so he said, are you ready? And I'm watching this whole thing. Are you ready? Oh, yeah, Dad, I'm ready. Okay, now here's what we're going to do. You're going to swing. I'm going to get out of the way. You're going to swing, okay? Are you ready? And she said, yeah. And he took one step back, and she took a swing and hit him right in the chest. Boom. He didn't flinch. He goes right back, and he says, okay, honey, we're going to try that again. This time, wait for me to get out of the way. All right? And I want you to hit that white little ball right there, and you're going to be great. And he had his arms around her, teaching her how to swing it. And then he said, okay, you ready? And she said, yeah. And I said, now wait, now let me back off. And so he backed off, and he says, okay, now. And she took this little swing and hit it, and the family was clapping, and I wanted to clap, and I was trying to get the whole courts to clap, you know. And here's this father just doting over this little girl. And that's the image that I think Jesus wants us to have with this story right here. That God loves you. He's not distant. He loves you. Guys, I know for us, you know, we'd rather something a little bit more masculine, you know, where think of God as somebody that comes up and gives you a, you know, nice punch in the shoulder or something. Just as an act of love. See, comebacks happen if you realize that God is doting. Fourthly, in this story, we see that comebacks happen when we repent. I don't think it's by accident that this is what happens in verse 21. The son comes to the Father after the Father hugs him and says, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." Anybody remember that from before? Remember he rehearsed this? He rehearsed what he's going to say? And then in verse 21, he actually says it. Now, as Jesus is telling this story, why would he include this twice? Why would he include these words, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you"? He included it twice. It's just a story that Jesus is telling. Well, here's the answer. Because the Jews of the first century would have gone, "Oh, you're kidding me." Because if you looked in Exodus chapter 10, these are the exact words that Pharaoh used with Moses. Where Pharaoh went to Moses and said, "I have sinned against the Father and I've sinned against you. Stop the locusts." See, Pharaoh didn't mean it. The young son in this story meant it. He was truly repentant. He truly wanted a comeback in his life. And so the father told the servants, "Bring the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and let's kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead." He was in a setback in his life, and now he's alive and there's a comeback. He was lost and he's found. So they began to celebrate. They began to celebrate. God always responds when we repent. Church, hear that. God always responds when we repent. You want to come back in your life? You got to take responsibility. We got to act with courage. We got to realize that God is, in fact, a loving God. He's not far. And we need to repent. So let me end with four questions. Four questions that I think will help us today in this story that Jesus tells in Luke chapter 15. Number one, are you where you want to be? Spiritually, are you where you want to be? Because it impacts everything. It impacts everything for you. Secondly, are you confident that God actually loves you? That he's not distant from you? That some of us will say, "You know, I don't know that he'll actually forgive that. I don't know that he will really understand all of this." Oh, yeah, he does. Oh, yeah, he does. Are you confident that God loves you? Thirdly, do you need courage to move into another direction? Do you need courage for the next season of your life, for the next phase of your life, for the next chapter of your life, for the next relationship in your life, whatever it might, do you need courage to say yes, even though you have no idea what it means? And then lastly, are you ready to repent? Church, this is how we have a comeback. Because it is time to come to our senses. It's time to come to our senses, to recognize we might not be where we want to be. We might not see God's love like we need to. We might need some courage today in our lives, and we might need to repent. Will you just bow your heads with me in all of our campus? Springboro, would you do that? Northmont, Classics. Even if you're online, just bow your heads for a minute. Because it's your moment with God. Father, we pray that you would hear our prayer. Some of us are not where we need to be. And we want to run back to you. May you open your arms. May you throw them around us. May we see and feel your forgiveness. Some of us are struggling, Lord, with whether you really, in fact, love us. You feel distant. I pray, Father, that right now you would draw close, because you've told us that when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And I pray that that would happen right now. There are some of us that need courage, and we need to come back through courage. And I pray, Father, that we would be willing to take the next right step, and you would give us the courage to do that, and you would give us the strength and the power to do that, to say yes, even though we have no idea. And Lord, for some of us, we just want to say, "Father, we have sinned against you, and we have sinned against us. Hear our prayer." Thank you, Father, that you are there. Thank you that you hear all of our prayer. Thank you that you can help us to experience a comeback in our lives so that spiritually we can take and handle and go through any experience that we have in our lives because we know you're with us. We thank you in Jesus' name. And the church said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen.